I don't think I've ever been introduced as the non-scrunchie wearing senior pastor, but let's go with that. It's interesting that you made a reference to my lack of hair. I was with my nephews yesterday, and one of them is 2 years old, and he said to me, "Uncle Andrew, why do you have no hair?" I said, "Well, I've given all my hair to my sons, Joshua and Luke and Reuben." And he looked really like quite upset by this, and he held his own hair. He says, "Well, I am going to give you mine." How cute. Dee Murphy, by the way, like he has so much hair, he ties it up and, like, you know, makes fun of me by having it on top of his head. It's just a thing, isn't it? It may be a surprise to some of you, maybe not all of you, to know that I wasn't a brilliant student when I was at school. Why is there not more of a response to that? Why is everyone like, "Yeah, no, it's kind of like what we thought"? And on one occasion, I was asked a question in chemistry, and I wasn't paying attention. But I thought I would try to, you know, bluff an answer. So I gave an answer, and my friend beside me made a derogatory noise about my lack of chemistry ability, to which the teacher was most offended for me and took that student outside to tell him off. But unfortunately, he told him off so loudly that everybody could hear what he was saying. And the first thing he said was, "You are a chemist, Mr. Fulton, but Mr. Gibson is not a chemist." And Mr. Gibson needs encouragement and does not need to be put down. Now, that pupil who made fun of me is a very good friend of mine still to this day. And actually, whenever we were journeying through uni together, I thought I was finished with maths whenever I just about scraped a C at GCSE, right? But we had to do maths again in our uni course as well. We had to do a thing called standard deviation. Like, it's definitely from the devil himself, right? But that same guy sat down with me and led me through it. And I paid attention and I got it. It's amazing whenever you're led somewhere with your attention, how you can actually get things. And so this morning what we're going to look at briefly, because I know that time, and it's really important and actually significant that we've focused so much on children this morning and on generations. So we're going to tie some of that in as well today. But it's important, I think, to be led attentively, because our talk this morning and our theme as we journey through Mark now, last week we looked at following with authority, and today we're going to look at following attentively. And actually part of following attentively is to read the Gospel of Mark and be very attentive to what is happening in Mark. To be tuned in to the way that Mark is writing. In fact, to all of the Gospels, because they all have different emphases and focus and intentions. They're all inspired, we say, but they're all intentional. They are inspired and they are intentional. It's this beautiful blend of God's breath and human creativity merged together to this amazing creative, inspired word. And so we must be attentive because it is intentional and it is inspired. I say about Mark that the delight is in the detail. The delight is in the detail in Mark because it is intentional and it is inspired. If it's in Mark, it matters. He doesn't use an awful lot of words, so the words that he does choose to use then are important, and they're there specifically, and they're there to help us be attentive to what he is trying to say, to what Charlotte's point was trying to reveal Jesus to us in a deeper way. Is that okay? So we're going to follow attentively as his disciples through this morning's talk in the next few moments. So for example, when we first see, by the way, wasn't Ryan great last week? Yeah. Yes. A timely word, an inspired word about how to walk with authority. Really, really important. And how Jesus gives us authority over sickness and over the demonic. How Jesus gives us the authority to restore someone's humanity and restore dignity to people and bring people into community, and how we use our authority. And he talked about the now of the kingdom and the not yet, but the now of the kingdom and how we walk and move in authority. And so it's interesting in Mark's gospel, for example, I just want to do a little bit of show, be attentive to what Mark is doing in his gospel as we look at chapter 7 and 8 today. It's interesting, the first time that we see an unclean or evil or disordered spirit in Mark 1, it's in the most Jewish of settings. It's in the Jewish synagogue and it's on the Sabbath. It doesn't become any more Jewish than that. But that unclean spirit has to do what when Jesus tells it to? It has to go. It has to go because Jesus has the authority. And as I spoke last week in this in Hollywood, I said this, Jesus has the authority because he's the author. Jesus has the authority because he's the author. And how amazing is that the author gives us his authority? And the first time then we see this authority used over the demonic, over the realm of the spiritual, is in the most Jewish of settings. It's an unclean, disordered, evil spirit, and it is sent under the authority of Jesus. And then in Mark 5, which Ryan unpacked for us really, really well last week, in the most un-Jewish of settings, it was among the tombs, it was in a Gentile region, very much controlled and dominated by Rome. It couldn't be more empire controlled. There was also lots of pigs there, which I don't think Rand touched on last week, but it's also saying it's the most un-Jewish of place. And there's also evil and disordered and chaotic spirits there too. But what must they do when Jesus speaks? They have to, because he has the and he's the author. He has authority because he is the author, amen. Cafe Church, he is the authority because he is the author. Mom and Dad watching at home, hi. He is the authority because he is the author. And so in the most Jewish of settings, Jesus commands the disordered evil spirits to go. And in the most un-Jewish of settings, Jesus commands the disordered evil demonic spirits to go. And what must they both do? Regardless of their setting, they must go. What's Jesus being revealed to us? To us today, powerful over every region, every realm. And then we see this again in the most Jewish ways, in the most Jewish settings in Mark chapter 6. We discover that Jesus sits people down and he begins to feed them. Jesus is being presented here as not only a new Moses, but a better Moses. It's so Jewish in its setting. He sits them down. They're in the wilderness. They're being fed from God himself. They are full. And how many baskets are left over? Pardon? 12. Amen. Let's say it louder. And that's important because how many tribes are there? 12. It's the most Jewish of things. Jesus is showing that I have authority in this realm, in the most Jewish of settings, under the most Jewish of motifs, of the Moses motif itself, feeding in the wilderness, and he does it. And there are 12 baskets overflow, so people leave filled. Jesus is the Lord of this realm. He is Lord in the most Jewish of context. But then also we see, and we're getting to Mark 7 and 8, I'm just doing a bit of background work. Mark 7 in the Decapolis region, again, very, very interesting. It's the most un-Jewish, most Gentile crowd is fed in the exact same manner. It's in the Decapolis region, the same region that Legion was from as well. And as they're fed, and as the number of baskets are gathered up this time, it's not 12, but it's 7. What does 7 symbolize in Scripture? But 7 symbolizes the world and the entirety of the divine order. So not just can I go into the Jewish realm and feed and be the new Moses, actually I've come for the world. And actually the world is going to be fed and filled because I'm revealing who I am. I'm not just Lord of the Jew, I'm Lord of the Gentile, I'm Lord of the world. The whole earth is the Lord's and everything in it. And so Mark is intentional, but Mark is inspired. He is carefully constructing, he is revealing Jesus to us as one who is Lord over every realm and region. And there's nobody who is outside his reach. There's no part of the world that is outside his reach. There's no person group who is outside of his reach. His love extends and grows beyond. That's why he's the new and he's a better Moses, because he goes beyond, he goes beyond, he goes beyond. And he's Lord of every region that he enters into. And then we see in the second part of Mark 5 that Ryan talked about last week, was the healing of Jairus' daughter, the most Jewish of daughters. She was Jairus' daughter. Who was Jairus? Anybody? Amen. Ronnie, you were listening. Did you get my email earlier on this week, Ronnie, by the way? He didn't reply. Thank you, Ronnie. Yes, he's the leader of the synagogue. He couldn't be any more Jewish. And Jairus' daughter comes. Jairus comes on behalf of his daughter. And he says, Lord, you need to come and you need to heal her. And she is healed and restored. And then we see in Mark chapter 7, you see where we're going? We're getting there. The most un-Jewish of daughters in Mark 7. From a region of Syrophoenicia, she is Greek by birth. And she comes and she asks Jesus to heal her daughter too. And what does Jesus do? He heals her daughter too. He heals the most Jewish of daughters and he heals the most un-Jewish of daughters. Jesus brings healing and restoration. You see, there's no region or realm that he does not reign. There's no region or realm, there's no spiritual realm that he does not reign over. And we walk in the authority of him, therefore, when we go into that realm, when we go into places where we know that there are things happening and there is oppression and there is disorder, we bring the authority of Jesus into that realm because there is no realm that he is not Lord over. There's no people group that he's not Lord over and that he does not love and he does not want to heal and he does not want to restore. He does it in the most Jewish of places and he does it in the most un-Jewish of settings. And Mark is saying to you, Jesus is king of the world, every region and realm. There's no people group in this land that is beyond his reach and love. We may divide, he does not divide. He wants to bring together. And this is the time in this nation now where the church is rising to be like the one who we follow and to move in the authority that he moved in, to move in the authority of the author for this land, for this time. That's why 4,000 young people gathered in the SSC arena last week from every denomination in this land to pray and to call and to be sent out into this nation. It's why on Friday that there was gathering from all church leaders of every denomination in Dundalk to pray and to plan together how this nation would be reached. Because there's no region or realm or division that we put in that he puts in. He comes to end it and to be, what does he pray in John 17? That we will be as he is. Church planting courses underway, which again, every denomination are sending their people to. So we plant together, we love together, we pray together for the sake of this nation because there's no region or realm that he does not reign. And we move in the authority of that. Can we pay attention to what Mark is doing? And as he reveals Jesus to us, there's nowhere his reign won't reach and no one beyond his reach. Do you believe it? There's nowhere his reign won't reach and nowhere his love won't reach. No person his love won't reach too. I was in Portugal 2 weeks ago, suffering for the Lord. Generally, your weather was better than ours, so I was suffering for the Lord, right? I got to teach in a class, a Brazilian, Portuguese, Spanish, English, South African, Northern Irish, woohoo, Indonesian, Filipino, Canadian, all in one space. Got to worship and pray together on the Wednesday night. Got to teach and share God's word. There's no region, there's nowhere in this world his love is not reaching and impacting. I visited a special needs school on Friday and met a kid from Iran. Do you know what's happening in Iran at the minute? The fastest growing church in the world is in Iran. The most dangerous and oppressed Christian place. But there's no spiritual realm that his love won't go into and reach and transform. And so the church is on fire in Iran. Because there's nowhere his realm, there's no realm or region that's beyond his reach and his love. He has the authority because he is the... You see the one we follow, like, you know, we follow him. And so we have the authority of the author as we follow him into our places of work, into our schools, into our families. It's 10:30, Charlotte. Oh, good gracious me. I've literally got my introduction. And that's okay. Jairus comes on behalf of his daughter, doesn't he? Do you remember in Mark 5 last week? And the Greek Syrophoenician woman comes on behalf of her daughter. We don't have time to go into, I know that there's an exchange between her and Jesus, which is complex and complicated, and it does need unpacked. Don't have time to do it this morning. If you want to unpack it with me, we can do it in between services, no issue at all. There's an exchange here between Jesus and the Gentile woman, the Greek Syrophoenician woman. But it says that she kept asking him to cast the demon out of her daughter. Heal my daughter. And then Jesus goes and he does it. And there's something I think this morning of the need to keep crying out for our children. Jairus does it. The Greek Syrophoenician woman does it and keeps doing it. There's something about, and I think that's why it's so children-focused this morning. I think this is what the Lord wants to do. And it's no coincidence. Again, Karen, and you were sharing communion, you know, care for the family, you know. And I know that you, like your son, took his daughter through her prayer time. I know that's what you did for your boys. And faithfully for many years. Were they always following, Caroline? Did you continue to persist? And there's something that we need to do. There's something that perhaps even as a parent, you looked maybe and heard about the saying last week and you're like, well, my son or daughter wasn't there. Or maybe even you sit in a row this morning and your children aren't there. Now, some of them are doing amazing things, no doubt at all. But they're not here, or they're not actually in any fellowship of believers. They're not following Jesus anymore. But there's no region that they may be living in or realm that they may be in that is beyond his reach. That's what's being revealed to us. And Jesus wants our hearts as both parents in the natural and in the spiritual. Beth Cousins stood there earlier on as a parent of these P6s. Beth, I know she's on visuals now, and she'll not mind me saying this, but she's not a natural mother. She's only whatever age she is. She's just barely finished school, but she's a spiritual mother already at the age of 18 or 19. And there's young adults who sit in this room. It's not that it doesn't apply to you because you don't have kids. There are kids who you've invested in through kids' ministry and youth ministry, and you are their spiritual. You do have a spiritual parenthood. You do have a spiritual role. And there's many in this room who sit there without natural children, but loads of spiritual children. So many you can't even remember because of the ways that you've poured in to their lives over the numbers of generations. But they're maybe not walking where they should be. And you need to cry out for them too and persist in crying out for them to come back to the Father. Because there's no region or realm or person is beyond the reach and the love of the Father. That's what's been revealed to us in Jesus. He'll go anywhere to anyone to bring them back. And I wonder, in our prayer life and in our crying out to the Lord and our supplication, have we gone quiet? We know we have the authority. We're not acting in authority. I haven't been paying attention to the heart of Jesus who goes into realms, into regions, reclaims territory, reclaims people. Yes, Jane. Yes, Jane. Goes into regions, into territories, and takes back what's his. Because that's the thing. This isn't the region that doesn't belong to him. It's his. He's just taking back what belongs to him. That's the same for our children. Dee said that these children came through from little stars and play gang to where they are now. Oh, may they be here in 10 years. Oh, may they be here in 20 years. Oh, may they be here in 30 years, in 40 years. 40 years of a UCCI connection which has impacted children and generational blessing across this world for 40 years. How many generations will that multiply out to? And our heart has to be continually crying out for our children. As our parents and our spiritual parents cried out for us. I don't stand here today as an accident of, it was prayer. I've told you the story about my mum putting my Bible study notes beside my bed and I didn't want to do them, but I'd move them to make her think that I'd done them. Do you know what I mean? But it was consistency. Every 3 months you still bought the new book. And it's prayer and it's faithfulness. I wonder, would you stand with me and could our ministry team come forward and could the band come back? I've got 6 pages of notes on the healing of the blind man. Chapter 8, verse 22 through to 9, verse chapter 1. And the whole theme really from Mark 8, after the feeding of the 4,000, right the way through to the transfiguration in Mark 9, is this call and cry for Jesus, for his people to see clearly. to see and to pay attention to what is going on. And as I want to be obedient and follow where the Spirit, I believe, has led during this week and indeed this morning. And I want to move into a ministry time where those who want to come forward and pray and stand alongside and pray for children, be it natural or spiritual, to come home, because the Lord still has plans and love and reach into every single one of their lives. That's what I believe. And that's what I believe is being revealed here and specifically for us this morning. And to pray and to stand alongside and say, could this be the day, Lord? Could this be the week, Lord? Could this be the day where they come back to you? We've heard, it, haven't we, in the last number of weeks? We've heard it. It's in the realm, it's in the ether, it's in the atmosphere. And can we have faith this morning to declare there's no region or realm or person that's outside of his reach? So if you just want to come forward as the band start to play, even come forward now. Frank, I'm going to hand back over to you in Cafe Church. And you can lead that even down there as well, Frank, and encourage people to come and pray for their sons, their daughters, the ones that they've invested in here, not with you, not walking with the Lord at the moment. And so even come now, I think even there's something significant and spiritual about moving, because even how can you expect them to make a journey that you're not willing to make in the prophetic and in this realm? So just start to move. And start to cry out and pray for your sons and your daughters. It's not, as I said, it's not just about a natural thing. I think that's really important. It's also a spiritual thing. People you've invested in, you've seen, you've walked with, and they're not walking anymore. But we can't expect them to make a journey, even in the prophetic and in the spiritual, that we're not prepared to make. And so we're going to take time to do this. I'll be jumping straight into this as well. And Jesus, as we sit and as we stand in your presence, we hear your words to us where you say, having eyes, do you not see? Having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember? Lord, would we have eyes and ears to see and to hear, to pay attention to the revelation of you? And as you are one who goes into every region and every realm, no one is beyond your reach and your touch and your healing and your restoration. We declare in this place, Lord God, that we want to be a people who follow you. And so we want to go into places, realms, regions, and declare your love, declare your truth, particularly to those, Lord God, who are our children, who we have cared for, who we have nourished, who we have loved, who we have invested in, and who are not with you, Lord God. And we want to cry out to them for their healing and their restoration and their bringing back to you. And we want to have the persistence, Lord God, to keep doing it. Even though, like in Jairus' situation, Lord, you know, you stopped the movement on the way to the healing. It hasn't always worked, Lord God. It doesn't always seem to be going the way we want it to. And yet we believe, as you did complete the journey and you did bring the healing and you did bring her restoration, that you can do the same today. And so, Lord, we cry out for our sons and our daughters of this church family and beyond, that they would come back to you healed and restored. We cry out to you for the sons and the daughters of this house, of this church family, that they would come back to you for healing and restoration and wholeness. They would come back to the author. And we want to declare you're not just the author, but you are the completer and the perfecter of our faith. And so the work that we believe you've done in them, Lord God, you would bring to pass, you would bring to completion. Bring them back to you, Lord God. We cry to you in this place this morning. In Jesus' name.